All right. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. I'm going to read that verse. I want to read Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. So, and I got another verse or two to read, but if I give them all to you, you'll lose your way. So, America, I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, it sounds pessimistic and all, but it's kind of like sitting by the bedside of a loved one that's passing away. What it's like. Yeah. You see, what used to be great, I don't care what anybody says. If it wasn't great, the whole world wouldn't be wanting to come here forever and ever. It's always been that way. Ever since we've been here as a country, the whole world's tried to get here. Don't tell me it wasn't great. Perfect? Nope. Evil people in mixed in it? Yep, always has been. It's the way it is with the human race. Sin has poisoned everything, everywhere, every time. But we're in the last days. We're in the last days of the kingdom of God, and we're in the last days of this country we love. Amen. All right. 1 Peter. Now, we're not going to preach on that this morning. I've got an easy message for you this morning. It's something I think about quite a bit. It's something I mention often when I'm preaching, but I just want to kind of just hit it this morning and leave everything else alone. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the King. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time together again and for the privilege of speaking your word here. Please help us, give us understanding and wisdom, guide our tongue that we'd say the things they need to be said and say them in a right way. And Lord, I pray, Spirit of God, that you would minister to each person here this morning. Pray you'd put something in us that would stick. There's been things like this through my life that I've read, heard, realized, I never forget. I always remember. And I pray this would be one of these things this morning that you'd help folks here to get and to remember in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we all know what it feels like to be lightly esteemed or counted as of little value or importance, don't we? Did you ever have anybody look down on you? Did you ever have anybody look down their nose at you? Did you ever have anybody look at you with disdain? And did you ever have anybody just not count you as anything? You don't matter. You're a nobody. You don't count. Well, we all had that experience. That's part of life. That's just part of being alive on this earth. You know, even the animal kingdom suffers from this. It's all a struggle against one another. That's what sin has done to this world, to all life. It's made it a struggle against one another. It's set everything against itself. God didn't mean for it to be that way. God created everything. And he meant for it. He created it to be in unity and at peace with one another, to be a benefit and a help, to live together in peace and to be a blessing to one another. That's why he created man, to be a blessing to him and for him to be a blessing too. God's that way. God is love. And God's not, it's sin that has set everything, turned everything upside down and made everybody fight for everything. Fight everybody for everything. One of the most wretched things that happens to people is that they get this attitude that everybody's is the enemy. And that you got to stand for your rights. And you got to fight for your rights. And you got to stand up for yourself. And you can't let nobody get one over on you. That's the most wretched thing that anybody can think. You get carried. I mean, that's the very character of sin. That's what it does to all of, and has done to all of God's creation. We look at one another, and it's funny because even sinners, their big deal is don't judge me. You know, don't judge me. That's this right here is what I'm talking about. That's what that is. Don't judge me. Y'all, everybody knows that everybody else is striving for superiority over everybody else. I've used it so many times, but the chickens do the same thing. They fight one another for superiority, and they establish who's the top chicken and who's the lowest chicken. People do the same thing. Exactly the same thing. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. That's not God's way. And when we're born again and we're regenerated and when we become partakers of the divine nature, that stuff ought to go out the window. You shouldn't look at other people anymore the same. I read this morning about it, and I think I've got it here somewhere probably in my notes here, the verse, but the essence of the law is love thy neighbor as thyself. If there's anything else, he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, let each esteem other better than himself, what the verse I just read there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. That's the attitude, that everybody matters more than I do. Selfishness is me first. Godliness is others first. Amen. Ain't you glad that Jesus didn't have the attitude that most people have in that matter? He said, you know, that if a man lay down his life, no greater love. There's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Lay down his life. I don't matter as much as they matter. I'll give my life. I'll lay it down for them. And he said, that's what we ought to do, didn't he? You ought to lay down your life for the brethren, for the people you love. It's a common experience because men don't regard the word of God and they don't honor all men. So it's a common experience in life for us to know what it is to be lightly esteemed. David said in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 23, David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? David the king in the Bible, man after God's own heart, highly exalted by God. But other men looked at him and lightly esteemed him. Yeah. Said he's nobody. He don't count. When he went out to kill the giant, you know, what did they say about him then? Said, oh, you're just, we know the naughtiness of your heart. We know you're out here just to show off. You take your stuff and go on home to daddy. You know, that was their attitude toward David. It wasn't God's attitude at all about David, though. Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men. Now, who's it talking about? Anybody know? Jesus, yes, the Son of God. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's what everybody did with Jesus. All right. Everybody is somebody. Nobody is today what they're going to be someday. You know, you sitting there in the pew, you young people, you're not going to be what you are today, someday. You don't even know that. But everybody else needs to realize that as we look at one another. Time changes things. Time changes circumstances. Time changes people. And things change. And people change. And so don't look at people like they are today. What they know today. What they are today. Where they're at spiritually today. What they possess today. The attitude they have today. Don't take that to the bank and say that's it for them. That's what they are. You better wait because time changes those things. Nobody's now what they're going to be. We never really know what we're dealing with when we're dealing with people. We really don't. You don't know who you're looking at. You don't. You may. We here's the deal. We think we're so wise and smart and experienced. We can look at somebody and know a few things about them, and we can figure out what they are and what they're going to be. No, nope, nope. Better realize sooner. You realize that that is a mistake. The better off you'll be in dealing with people, and the better off your future will be. We never know really what we're dealing with. That's the wonderful thing about God, and is that He sees what we can be instead of what we are right now. You better thank God this morning that He saw that in you too, and that He sees that in you. If you ain't right with God this morning, you better thank Him anyway, because He has mercy on you and He waits on you, because God has faith that you're going to be something better than what you are now. He has hope for you. Jesus didn't look at Mary Magdalene and see an old prostitute. He saw what she could be through the grace of God and through forgiveness and repentance and forgiveness of sin. Yeah. When He looked at that old run, you know, that woman that was so, that sin had ravaged so, He saw the Mary that come running to the tomb that day, not, yeah, see? And when He looks at you today, that's what He sees in you. You may be a rebel, you may be blind and darkened in your soul, but He sees what you could be. Well, my message to you this morning is that's the way we ought to look at other people too. We'd probably see more people get saved if we'd look at other people that way. Don't you reckon? If we had faith that they could be saved, that they would be saved, that God could and would change them, I tell you, it'd be a lot more likely to happen. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the man, sick of palsy, thy son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The man got saved because of the faith of others. God doesn't suppose that we're in our final state now and therefore hopeless. God doesn't look at us that way. Now, we look at other people that way. We look at somebody that sin has took to the bottom and we say, man, ain't no hope for them. I just don't see how they could ever come out of that mess. I don't see how they could ever recover themselves. But God don't see it that way at all. He can save to the uttermost. Yeah. Saved to the uttermost. Some of the Bible gives us some of the most outlandish, far out cases of people who were beyond all human hope. And God saved them. And then we know some in our own life. We know some people who were the same way. Just so far gone, it just didn't seem like there was any way. But God did save them. Sometimes things do change. See, we are in too big a hurry, and we don't look at things like we should in the big view. We look at day by day and week by week, and we just think it ain't never going to happen. It can't never happen. It won't never happen. These people are like they are, and that's what they're always going to be. And we shouldn't, you know, we ought to have a bigger look than that. We get the idea that things are as they are and they ain't never going to change. Can't never change. Won't never change. Things do change. They do. They change all the time. They can change. They can change for the worse. They can change for the better. Don't ever forget the better. Don't be the doom and gloom and the pessimist that can't never see any hope. Always hope. Always believe. There is a way. And people can be brought out of the darkness. And I can't do it for them. You can't do it for them. It's only God that can do it for them. But God is enough. And God is sufficient. And God is able to do it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. He is. We're not. We think we're God. We think we're in God's stead too much. And we take too much upon ourselves, thinking that if I can't do it, if I can't make it come to pass, if I can't make it effectual, then ain't no way it can be done. How foolish. When we realize how helpless we are, when we believe what Jesus said, when he said, without me, you can do nothing. I mean, we can't do nothing without him. He is the one that has all power in heaven and earth, not us. And that's enough to save the lowest sinner. That's enough to save the most stubborn rebel. He can do it. And we need to realize that. We don't believe that. We just don't believe that enough. We think that things, we look at how it is, and this is the way it is. This is the way it's always going to be. We don't consider what God can do. We never know really who we're dealing with, because they're not going to stay the same. And, you know, circumstances change. The wheel turns. And what's on the bottom can be ending up on the top. And what's on the top can end up on the bottom. Have you ever seen that happen? Well, I've seen it happen a lot. I'm talking about some people other than. I remember when they were on top. Now they're on the bottom. Then I've known some people too, and I know some people that were on the bottom, and now they're on the top. And that's, I'm talking about, that works in worldly, physical, material realm, as well as the spiritual realm. I've seen people who seem to be on top, who ended up on the bottom. And I've seen people also, praise the Lord, who were on the bottom, who are now on the top. Unbelievable. I never thought. I never dreamed. But it's made me stop and consider when I see people who are acting just like they did back there when they were on the bottom, it makes me hope for them. It makes me realize that I could. You know, there may be a day when they will be praising the Lord, when they will be serving the Lord, when they'll throw out all of their vanity and nonsense and foolishness and live for God. I've seen it happen, so I know it can happen. And if it happened for them, it could happen for this one. Be not unbelieving. Be not faithless. Believe. And hope in God. Sometimes people change too, and those who were nobodies become somebodies. Go to the jail. You don't know who's in there. You really don't. I can tell you some people who've been in jail who were somebody. But when they were in jail, if you'd have went and visited and seen them sitting in their cell or chained to the wall or in their shackles and all dirty and messed up, you'd have just walked right by and thought, poor soul. And Paul, Peter, on and on, man. There's prophets in the Bible in the Old Testament, same way, man. They put them in a dungeon. Treated them bad. Treated them like they were nobody. And they were somebody. And they got out of the prison. Always remember that. Always remember this in your dealings with other people. To honor them is to treat them with the respect that you would if they were somebody important and with authority. Y'all treat everybody like they're somebody important. Don't that humble you? Don't that make you respect somebody when they treat you like you're somebody important? And like you're somebody that matters? Yes, it does. It earns your respect for them. Well, that's the way we ought to treat other people. Because there might be a day down the road when the whole thing be turned the other way. It might be you the one. And what I'm talking about is treating people who are lightly esteemed. People who everybody else considers somebody who don't matter, you treat them right. You know, Jacob's not here, but we talk about this once in a while. You know, everywhere I've ever been in church, never been in a church or a part of it anywhere where there's not somebody like him to one degree or another. They're just not like the rest of us. And so that's the way it happens in the chicken coop. If there's one a little different, they're pushed aside and ostracized and picked on and treated like they're nobody and they don't count and they're not important, and it wouldn't matter if they was gone, and everybody wishes they were gone. That's the way the chickens do. And people do the same thing. The ones who are not wise. The ones who don't understand. The ones who ain't thinking. You know, you need to understand that people who are not whole, someday they are going to be whole. If they know the Lord, and the Lord is just and right, and these and people, you know, like we've had a lot of people in the years through the years that were, you know, their mind was simple, and their mind was not whole. But it doesn't take that to know the Lord. It doesn't take that to be saved. You need to understand that. It's a lot easier for somebody with a simple mind to be saved than it is for somebody with a mind that's all tangled up and has its affections and everything set on this world. And a person like that, God's going to make them whole. And there will come a day when you'll be looking on them in heaven and they'll be whole. And it's going to be... You know, you're going to give account for the way you treated them, the way you thought about them, the way you looked at them, talked to them, your attitude toward them. Treat them like they're somebody, even though everybody else thinks they're nobody. They do count with God. All right? To honor them is to treat them with the same respect you would is it if they were somebody. No one knew who Joseph was. Nobody except God. Think about that. Nobody, not even his father, nobody knew who he was. He was just Joseph. And here, let me read you some scripture. Genesis 37, verse 18 says this. And when they saw him afar off, that's his brethren talking about Joseph, he's coming. Even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we'll say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. That's his own brothers that hated him, because he told his father, he brought their evil report to his father. He told their father what that bunch of reprobates was up to. They's always doing something wicked and wrong, and Joseph told his father on him. They hated him. But they didn't know who they were dealing with at all. See, he's the younger brother. He was just the baby, sort of, the family. He had one younger brother, Benjamin. But, I mean, Joseph was the one they hated. They didn't know who he was. This is Joseph. They dug up coins not long ago in Egypt, and guess whose picture is on whose image is on the coins of Egypt? Joseph. It ain't no fairy tale. He did live. He did live his life. And the Bible tells us more details about his life. They sold him like he was a piece of junk to a bunch of Ishmaelites, because one of them talked him out of killing him instead of just killing him and throwing him in a hole in the ground and telling their dad an animal got him. They decided that'd be too... They'd be too likely to get in trouble. They'd just sell him, get a little bit out of him. 37:28, they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Nothing. Cheap. They sold him cheap. They didn't count him as worth nothing. Genesis 39:1, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. He was bought and sold like a thing. Nobody counted him as anything. Not even his own brothers knew who he really was. I'm saying not even his brothers who he lived with knew who he was. They counted him as nothing. The Ishmaelites that bought him for 20 pieces of silver, they didn't know who he was. They just looked at him like he's a thing, a boy. Not Potiphar. He didn't know. He bought him. He didn't know what he was buying. Not Potiphar's wife. She didn't know who she was trying to destroy. She didn't know who she was trying to use. The keeper of the prison didn't even know, although he did recognize Joseph's good character and Joseph's faith in God, and it wasn't long till Joseph was put in charge of the prison. All of them esteemed him very lightly. They didn't realize what the future held. They didn't realize the changes that were going to come in the circumstances. And they didn't realize the changes that were going to come in this person that they're buying and selling and treating like a thing. Until his time came and he was providentially exalted to the position that God had prepared him for all those years. And through all the hardships, nobody knew who he was until one day, and everything changed. From the prison to the throne in one day. When it happens quickly sometimes. Sometimes people are elevated in a day like Joseph was. Then everybody realized he was somebody and he was not to be lightly esteemed. I've always thought it was, you know, it's such a story, Joseph. And it's such a moving thing when his brothers come in and they don't know who he is. They treated him so bad, and yet now they're bowing before him and they're treating him like he's somebody because he is somebody. Same person. And then when he revealed himself to them, made himself known, I'm Joseph, who you sold. Don't you see how things changed? Wouldn't they have been a lot better off if they'd have treated him like somebody back yonder? They wouldn't have met him with fear and trembling. They wouldn't have lived these years in Egypt with all the terror in their heart. You remember when Jacob finally died? They said, now he's going to get us. He'll do it to us now. The only reason he didn't kill us before was because of our father. Remember that? Remember the Bible saying that? And it made Joseph weep when they told him that. And how long is it going to take you to understand that I've forgiven you? When are you guys ever going to understand there's a God in heaven? There's a way to forgive sin. And that when are you ever going to understand that a person can trust God, even through all that I've been through? I mean, God, you meant it for evil, he tells them again, but God meant it for good. The way this all worked out, I can save you, save your lives, save our family. Save all of the that God has promised to Abraham and Isaac and to our father Jacob. God used my life to rescue us from all of that. You know, and they were facing somebody different. Pharaoh's daughter had no idea who the child was that she pulled out of the river that day. She didn't have any idea. It's just a baby. Just another baby. A little Hebrew baby. It's Moses. But it didn't, there was no sign, there was no evidence, there was no reason to think at that time that it was anything besides just another Hebrew baby. Nothing to show that this was anybody special, that this was anybody that was going to do anything great. It was just a baby in that basket. That little ark of bulrushes, is that what it called him? They didn't know who Paul was when they let him down over the wall in a basket that night so he could escape the Jews that had determined to kill him. Acts 9:23 says, and after that many days were fulfilled, he was there preaching. That's what was going on. And after many days of that, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying away was known of Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Not even the disciples in Jerusalem. You know, that's Peter and John. I mean, that's the ones who walked with Christ. They didn't believe that he was a disciple. They thought he's a fake. He's a trickery. They didn't count him as... They rejected him. You're not going to join with us. We ain't having you. This is the Apostle Paul. They didn't know. The people who let him down over the wall in a basket had no idea who they had in the basket. You remember the song? You never know who's in your basket. They saved his life. Well, that's good. But they didn't know what they were doing, really. They didn't know the magnitude of what they were doing. I've even seen this happen in my life with people. I've seen people that nobody counted as nothing, and nobody realized what they really were, and later they turned out to be somebody that made a difference. And as time passes, we'll see it happen with some in our very little small crowd right here today. I said, yeah, you watch and see. You watch and see. You look around, and people that are here in our crowd, this doesn't always happen like it looks like is the inevitable. When you see somebody stumbling and staggering and getting mixed up in the world and failing and falling out and all of that, don't make up your mind that they're just that's the end of them, because it may not be the end of them. I did some stumbling and staggering for a while too. Yeah. I don't know anybody really that hasn't. I've known a lot of people in church through all these years, and I've seen a lot of people that got in and out for a while, got in, got out for a long time, and finally got their foot on solid ground. I've known preachers that preached for years and then got saved. Reckon it'll happen in our little crowd. Reckon there's somebody here and among us that we're looking at and saying, well, you know, don't think they'll ever amount to anything. Better be careful. Better be careful. I found out a lot of times that, you know, it is frustrating to get up here and preach and people not even look at you and not listen or nothing. But I found out sometimes they're really listening. I found out with my own kids even that a lot of things I told them, and I thought they never did hear me, wouldn't listen, wouldn't pay attention, they did. They still remember. They remember things that I forgot. What do you do? Well, you just tell them anyway. You just keep preaching anyway. That's what Jesus did. He knew they wasn't hearing. He knew they wasn't understanding. They wasn't listening. Wasn't getting it. But he told them anyway. And God made sure that it was written down forever. As time passes, we'll see it happen with some here. And be very careful about your feelings and attitudes toward other people. Don't let your pride and inflated opinion of yourself cause you to look down on other people and be indifferent about them, be condemning about them, or be hostile toward them about where they are at this moment. You hear me? Did you get that? Don't let your pride and your high opinion of yourself and what you know, and where you're at, or where you think you're at in your life, cause you, allow you to look at other people and say, well, boy, I ain't nobody. Look down on other people, have a bad attitude toward other people, be condemning and judgmental of other people. Don't let that happen. All that can change. All that can change in a moment. And often it does. So treat them and think of them as you would as if they were in a much higher condition and position than they are right now. Is this clear now? I mean, you need to look at somebody that's on the bottom and realize they could climb out of there. They could be yanked out of there and put on a higher place somewhere by God. Anytime. It happens. Happens a lot. Most Didn't know who Jesus was either. Do you realize that? Most still do not know who he is. They treat him with disrespect. They treat him with apathy. They treat him with, they lightly esteem him. Don't know. They don't know who they're dealing with. Oh, it's going to be so bad. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Oh, they didn't. They didn't know who they were, whose hands they were driving nails through. They didn't know whose face they were spitting in. They didn't know who that was they were beating on with their hands and sticks. They didn't know who that was they were mocking and railing upon. They didn't know. They took him to just be a man. They took him to just be a carpenter's son. They took him to be all this other. Look at what they said here. John chapter 9, verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. How'd they know God spoke to Moses and they don't know who this fellow is? It's pretty disrespectful language to use toward the Lord himself, isn't it? This fellow. People do it now. They call God Daddy. The old man upstairs. Yeah. They call Jesus a cool dude. That's what all his contemporary idolatry, that's their attitude. That's the language they use about him. They're lightly esteeming him. They don't recognize him for who he really is. The biggest, well, let me read you a couple more. Here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Oh, they were so scholarly in the word of God and everything. They listened to Jesus and said he was blaspheming. He was the living word of God. He's the one who spoke the words that they counted as God's word. And they listened to God himself talking and said he's blaspheming. Reckon they're mixed up? Reckon they got a problem with esteeming the man as they should have? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Well, he understood. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. Some people recognized him. The thief on the cross recognized him and esteemed him highly. That's why that every time you see in the Bible, like Judas, never called him Lord. Look for it. He didn't. Never. Never said Lord. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He knew who he was. Even some at the cross said, after he died, said, surely this was the Son of God. And some of the people who should have known didn't. Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. They said that about Jesus. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19. They said he was a glutton and a drunkard and a friend. That's what the religious people now, religious leaders said about the Lord himself. The man who never man spake like this man. The man who said to the winds and the sea, peace be still. And then they said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey his voice. These others said he's a glutton and a drunkard. Bad call, fellers. Bad call. Many of them said he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? This, about Jesus, they said he's got a devil and he's crazy. What are you listening to him for? Let me tell you, the biggest mistake you can make in your life is to fail to recognize Jesus for who he is. It'll cost you your soul for eternity. You hear me? That's your biggest mistake. Now, you can make a lot of mistakes, and you can be rescued from a lot of mistakes. You can wise up one day through hard experience and realize you've been a fool and you made stupid decisions. But this is one that you won't get over. I mean, you don't recognize Jesus for who he is, and it's going to cost you your soul forever. He's not the meek and lowly servant of servants that he appeared to be when he walked this earth. See, we look at other people and we look at the state they're in right now. We look at what other people think of them right now. And then we make the call about them right now as if it's forever. Don't do the same thing with Jesus. You better recognize he came as a lowly servant. He laid down his deity power when it came to living among men and in a body of flesh and facing temptation and overcoming sin here. Yeah, he did. He was a man. He was incarnate. He became flesh. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he was tempted and he suffered and all of that. Just like he did all that. But don't you make the mistake of thinking that he was just a man. Just nobody. You better not. You better not look at the life of Jesus and think that's the way he is now, because that's not the way he is now. God has highly exalted him. He's on the right hand of the Father. He's coming back. And he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one with all power in heaven and earth. He's the one that's all judgment is given unto him of the Father. He's the judge of every man. He's coming back, and he's coming as the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the judge of the universe. You better look at him in that light. Seen a picture yesterday, one of our friends on Facebook put on there, and they're Catholics, and it was a little girl hugging this Jesus image like he was dead or something, and this little girl's the view they have of Jesus is that he's on the cross. That's why the Catholics always have their crucifixes. He's nailed on the cross. He's suffering and he's dying. He's not on the cross. He's not on the cross. I went in a Catholic church in Monterrey, Mexico. They had Jesus in a casket in the front of the church. On this side of the church, right there, was a casket, and Jesus laying in the casket dead. They worshiped him that way. Bad mistake. You don't see him as he really is. You're esteeming him, you're judging him, you're viewing him as what something that he is not at all. You're making the same mistake Joseph's brothers made, Potiphar made, Potiphar's wife made, everybody made. You don't see the real Jesus. Better not make that mistake with him. Don't you miss who Jesus is. He's the only one that can make you into what you are supposed to be. And don't esteem him lightly and treat him as if he's of no value or importance. He's the Lord and King, and so look at him and treat him as such. Because you will face him soon. Y'all hear me? Practice on other people the same thing. Look around you. Look at what people could be. Look at what they might be someday. They might be like Joseph, they might be to you one day like Joseph was to his brethren. What if one day they're the one in control? What if one day your fate is in their hands? You better look at it like that. The people around you, the people you work with, the people you socialize with through your work or whatever, people you know, always remember, everybody is somebody. I seen a picture the other day, and normally I don't like things like it. I don't like when they mix up and say, and try to portray it as if the sinners are going to heaven and all the church people are going to hell. I don't like that at all, because that's blasphemous. But the fact of the matter is, it showed a picture of men in prison And then it showed a picture of people sitting in the pews in church. And the fact really is, there's going to be a lot of the people that sit in church pews, lots of them. I believe the majority of them are going to end up in hell because they're deceived. Really do. I really, really do believe that. And that ain't something that I just picked up as a hobby horse. That's what I believe from watching people in church for 40 years. That's what I believe. They don't understand. They don't know. They do not know the Lord. They're religious. They're willing to give. They're willing to participate. They're willing to identify with the church and all that. But they don't know the Lord. Now that's what I believe. And I also believe that there's people in the prison that's wrecked their life but found God in the prison. And in other places like the prison. Yes, sir. It's what you think of the Lord. It's what Jesus asked him. He said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? See? Did you ever look at these little babies, these little children, and wonder what they're going to amount to? You never know when you have a little boy, you never know if he's going to be is he going to be somebody? Is he going to be somebody that makes a big difference in the world? Could be. What did Moses' mother say about him when she saw that he was a proper child? Am I right? Am I talking about the right? I believe so. All right, let's stand. See, I told you I had an easy message for you. It's easy as far as it's not just scolding and all of that, but what I've given you is something that's going to be hard for you to really put in practice. It's something you got to really put forth an effort to be like. You can do this a time or two and then fall back into the old ways. I mean, for this to be the habit of the way that you look at other people and think of other people, you got to work at it. You got to practice it. You got to ask the Lord to help you. Because people are not lovable. You know, that's the thing. We just love people who are lovable. If they're nice to us, we love them. If they're ugly to us, we don't like them. Well, that's carnal. That's not godliness. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not being led by the Spirit of God. That's just pure old carnal, selfish pride and everything else that we're going by. You be nice to somebody and they snarl at you, you just think, oh, yeah, that'll be the last time. No, that's... What if Jesus had that attitude? What if Joseph would have had that attitude? What if Moses would have had that attitude? I was talking last night, I think, to Seth about, or met David, I guess it was, I don't remember. But anyway, it was about, I said, you know, don't you think Moses got discouraged? At 40 years old, he thought he was ready to do God's work, lead the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He went out to do it and got slammed to the ground. He ended up running for his life. And for 40 years, he spent the next 40 years on the backside of the desert until there was nothing left of Moses and his dream and his self-will and his pride and confidence was all gone. Then God come to him and said, now, you're going to go lead my people out of Egypt. No. Well, he did. God dealt with him until he said, okay. And he did. He let him out, didn't he? And then he spent the next 40 years in the wilderness with these bunch of rebel, unbelieving, idol-worshiping people that never did get right. He never led them into the promised land. Now think about that. Don't you think he got discouraged? That'd be awful discouraging, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Feel like you've just wasted your life. Did he?
No.
Was Moses' life wasted?
No.
Oh, no. Of course not. So it was like what we preached last Sunday about knowing the will of God, being led by the Spirit of God. You don't judge God's leading by the success or failure, the apparent success or failure of the endeavor. God's God. And that's the way He works in the lives of people. You better recognize Him. You better realize. I wonder who I've bumped into in my life that's going to be somebody great in heaven that I just looked over him. You know, I just seen him as a tree walking, you know. Didn't see nothing. Didn't recognize it at all. Look closer at people. Think deeper. Have more of a burden for other people. Not just the little crowd that we're enclosed in here this morning. Look out. Look out. When you go to work. When you go to school. When you're out and about and in the store, look at people. Realize they are somebody. And you don't know who they'll be someday. Right? Amen. All right, bow with me. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And thank you for the truth we've talked about this morning. Thank you for revealing it, for showing us, for helping us to understand this. And Lord, we pray you'd help us to live it, not just count it as something we know, but Lord, that it'd be a real life-changing way that we do things. The way we look at other people and the way we esteem them, Lord, help us. We take others too lightly. We don't look deep enough. We don't realize everybody's got a story of their life, and there's been, and everybody's got all this baggage and experiences that have made them and brought them to where they're at and made them what they are. Please help us, Lord, to take it all into account and help us to always have hope and have faith in others, and especially those of our own. Help us, Lord. We're inclined not to do that. Pray you'd incline us to be the other way. And Lord, help us to pray for one another and to pray for other people and to really carry a real burden for them and not just be uncaring and thoughtless about them. Please go with us now. And help us to keep this word in our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.